God has created a glorious universe. Photos from the Hubble telescope reveal awesome galaxies and nebulae. Do distant stars and planets millions of light years away have anything to do with your future? Will you live beyond the grave? What will you be doing for all eternity? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames asks, how will you spend eternity? And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. Benjamin Franklin once wrote, nothing in life is certain except death and taxes. Death is a reality we all must face. But there's hope for an awesome future beyond death. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment and the resurrection. Yes, we'll all die, but later there is a judgment. And there's also a wonderful future for those who are faithful servants of God and truly converted Christians. On today's program, we'll explore the incredible human potential that lies beyond death, and we'll be offering you an exciting free booklet that'll reveal the Bible's description of your awesome future. It's titled, Your Ultimate Destiny. Be sure to write down the phone number and address. You can also order this free booklet on our website at tomorrowsworld.org. How will you spend eternity? Will you be able to travel deep into space? The Hubble telescope has captured inspiring photos of galaxies and nebulae, such as the Cartwheel Galaxy, 500 million light years away, the Cygnus Loop Supernova Remnant, the Crab Nebula, the Tadpole Galaxy, the Cone Nebula, the Swan Nebula, the M51 Whirlpool Galaxy, the Eagle Nebula, M16, 7,000 light years away, the Lagoon Nebula, only 5,000 light years away, and many other startling images of the universe. Human beings are so limited by time and space, and yet we have a desire to explore our universe. That innate drive led the Apollo space exploration series in the 1960s. On July 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walked on the moon. They spent 21 hours there and returned to planet Earth with 46 pounds of lunar rocks. In December 1972, Apollo 17 landed on the moon. Astronauts Eugene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt became the last of 12 Americans to set foot on its mysterious surface. Since then, no one has been back. In 2004, U.S. President George W. Bush announced plans to send human beings back to the moon as early as 2015, and eventually to Mars. The president said, quote, we will build new ships to carry man forward into the universe, to gain a new foothold on the moon, and prepare for new journeys to the worlds beyond our own. Bush proposed landing an unmanned spacecraft on the moon as early as 2008. Humans would return to the moon by 2020, after an absence since December 1972. The moon would serve as a stepping stone to an eventual manned mission to Mars. End of quote. Other nations are also pursuing space travel. In October 2003, the People's Republic of China became the third nation to launch a human being into space. Only Russia and the United States had done so before. As Reuters News Service reported last January, quote, Sun Liang, Deputy Director of the China National Space Administration, said in December, China planned to launch a lunar probe program this year, which includes a lunar satellite by 2007. That will be followed by the landing of an unmanned vehicle on the moon by 2010 and collecting samples of lunar soil by 2020. China plans a second manned space launch within the next 2 years, this time carrying more than one astronaut. The United States last had a man on the moon in 1972, end of quote. Human beings have a fascination with the universe, and so we should. We're part of the great creation of God. Ancient King David marveled at his place in the cosmos. As a shepherd boy, he saw the glory of the heavens night after night. He wrote in Psalm 8 and verse 3, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" As a young college student, I asked similar questions. Have you considered your place in the universe, now and in the future? As incredible as it may seem, the Bible indicates that the earth and the universe were created for mankind. In fact, King David went on to write in Psalm 8 and verse 5, "For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O eternal our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." God gave man dominion over the physical earth and its creatures. Human beings are supposed to be learning how to manage, govern, and serve as faithful stewards. But why did God give human beings such dominion or authority over planet Earth? The answer may be astounding to you, and you may not want to believe it. The answer is in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 2. God is now allowing us the opportunity to train for greater authority and stewardship in the future. God has an awesome plan for all humanity. As unbelievable as it may seem, God wants to share the universe with you. That's what your Bible reveals. The book of Hebrews quotes David's psalm in Hebrews 2, verse 7. "You have made him, that is mankind, a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet." Now notice, the quote from the book of Psalms ends, and the author of Hebrews, under the inspiration of God, makes this comment, verse 8, Hebrews 2, verse 8, "For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him." It appears that nothing in the universe is excluded from mankind's dominion or rulership. Listen to the rest of the verse, verse 8, "But now we do not yet see all things put under him." This awesome event is yet future, but it is sure and certain. The Greek word for all in verse 8 is ta panta, which literally means the all. As the Greek lexicons explain in the absolute sense, ta panta means the universe. God wants to give you, along with millions and billions of others, dominion not only over the earth, but he wants to share with you the entire universe. But we can only do that when we inherit eternal life. Only when we are God's immortal children. God has an awesome purpose for you and me, and that purpose includes our future in the universe. We'll discuss more about our exciting future in the next part of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you an exciting free booklet titled, Your Ultimate Destiny. God's love is so great. He wants to give you eternal life as a free gift. But what will you do for all eternity? Will you do nothing except sit on clouds? Or does the Bible reveal exciting activity and fulfillment far beyond what you've been taught? Is the universe waiting for you? This free booklet entitled Your Ultimate Destiny will open your eyes to God's purpose and plan for you. You'll find amazing promises for you in the Bible concerning your future. Pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy of Your Ultimate Destiny. You can also order this booklet on our website at tomorrowsworld.org. This booklet, Your Ultimate Destiny, will give you hope and vision for a glorious, active, and joy-filled eternity. You need to know what you'll be doing for all eternity. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy of Your Ultimate Destiny.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
In the first part of our program, we saw that human beings long to explore the universe. But do we really understand our limitations? Do we really think that we as air-breathing, food-eating, water-drinking creatures can travel very far into space? While Mars may be within reach at the cost of billions of dollars, how close is our nearest star? Our closest star is Proxima Centauri. Sometimes it's called Alpha Centauri C. It's 4.2 light years away. In other words, if you were able to travel at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, it would take over 4 years. As National Geographic magazine pointed out, the space probe Voyager 1 is now traveling out into space at the speed of 38,700 miles per hour. Do you know how long it will take for Voyager 1 to travel the distance to Proxima Centauri, 4.2 light years away? The answer is 70,000 years. We'll never conquer space, much less travel very far into space, unless we can break through the human limitations of time and space. But there is hope for the future. As we'll see later, God has a plan for His children to transcend time and space. Your Bible plainly reveals that God has a purpose for every human being, a purpose that includes joy for all eternity. However, there are various and conflicting ideas about our role in eternity. What will you be doing, if anything? There are many ideas about the afterlife. What will faithful, God-fearing, genuine Christians be doing for all eternity? Different religions have different ideas about our eternal reward. Buddhists believe that there are many heavens and hells, but these are temporary destinations, and that we are reincarnated continuously unless we achieve nirvana and are released from an endless cycle of births and deaths. The religion of Islam teaches in the Quran that the souls of the righteous will, quote, delight forever in what their souls desire, end of quote. That's from Surah, or chapter 21, verse 99. Each will live, says Surah 69:20. In, quote, a blissful state in a lofty garden with clusters of fruit within his reach, end of quote. Islam teaches that the souls of the wicked will be cast into a fiery eternal hell, where torments will never end. Surah 43:73 states, quote, the evildoer shall endure forever the torment of hell, which will not be assuaged for them. They shall be speechless with despair, end of quote. Surah 4, verse 56 states, those that deny our revelations, we will burn in fire. No sooner will their skins be consumed than we shall give them other skins so that they may truly taste the scourge, end of quote. Many Christian denominations also teach that your soul either goes to a blissful heaven at death or to a fiery hell or purgatory. But what does the Bible actually teach? The Bible teaches there is a human spirit, not an immortal soul. Read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11, and Job 32, 8, for example. The Bible teaches that the soul can die. Ezekiel 18, verse 4 and verse 20 state, the soul who sins shall die. And Jesus stated in Matthew 10, verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, or Gehenna fire. The Bible teaches that souls are mortal, not immortal, and that souls can be totally destroyed in fire. Jesus said so. The incorrigibly wicked indeed will be tormented and then burned up in a lake of fire. That's called the second death. You read about that in Revelation 20, verse 14. The second death is final. It's a death from which there's no resurrection. You certainly do not want to be thrown into a lake of fire. You need to choose life and choose the salvation that God offers you through Jesus Christ. You need to repent, be baptized. The Apostle Paul preached that on the day of Pentecost. You can read about that in Acts 2, verse 38. God has a wonderful plan of salvation for all humanity. He wants you to be a part of His family for all eternity. Turn in your Bible, if you have one available, to Ephesians 3, verse 14. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." My friends, God is the Father of a family. One of the awesome activities we'll experience for all eternity is to fellowship with our loving family. It's a royal family. Why? Because Jesus Christ will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will also be kings and priests. Turn to Revelation 5, verse 10. God reveals our future responsibilities. Jesus Christ will have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. We also learn from Daniel 7 and verse 18 that we'll inherit the kingdom of God. Daniel 7 and verse 18. "But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." Yes, those saints will be in the first resurrection when Christ returns. They will rule on this earth, serve under the King of Kings, and help billions of human beings. At the second coming, at the beginning of the millennium, we will be resurrected or changed and given a spiritual body. The resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, states that we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. That's in verse 49. And that we'll have glory, power, immortality, and a spiritual body. Remember, after Jesus' resurrection, He ascended to heaven. He had His pre-incarnate glory restored to Him. Revelation 1 describes His radiance, power, and glory. Revelation 1, verse 16, says that His countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And yet, Jesus was able to manifest Himself in the flesh. He appeared to His disciples and ate fish with them, as you read in John 21, verse 13. The saints also will be able to manifest themselves to the physical nations during the millennium. As kings and priests, we'll be governing and teaching. In fact, the priests in ancient Israel were the teachers. During the millennium, we'll be teaching God's way of life, the way of truth, the way of the Bible, the way of living that Jesus Christ exemplified, the way that He taught. Turn in your Bible to Isaiah 30 and verse 20. As kings and priests, we will teach the world the way to peace. Isaiah 30 and verse 20. "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." Many of us will have various responsibilities in God's kingdom. King David will be ruling over the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The two nations will become one. You can read about that in Ezekiel 37th chapter. And what will the 12 apostles be doing? Jesus said that they would be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel, Matthew 19 and verse 28. "So Jesus said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for My name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." What other responsibilities will the saints have? What will we be doing? Jesus gave the parable of the pounds in Luke 19. He made it plain that faithful Christians would be ruling over cities, some managing 5 cities, some ruling over 10 cities. Jesus also pointed out that those who overcome will be ruling over nations. You can read about that in Revelation 2, verse 26. Do the cities and nations of this world need godly government? Absolutely. That's why we pray, "Your kingdom come." And you, as a part of God's glorious, immortalized family, can be a part of the solution to the world's problems. Let's understand. God's kingdom will rule here on earth. Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. Turn in your Bible to Zechariah, the 8th chapter. Zechariah 8, verse 3. Listen to this inspiring prophecy. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, will dwell in Jerusalem, here on earth. Faithful Christians will serve him as kings and priests here on this earth, not in heaven, as so many wrongly teach. In fact, heaven is coming to earth. When will that happen? We'll answer that question in the conclusion of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you an exciting free booklet titled, Your Ultimate Destiny. You need this booklet. It's one of the most important booklets you'll ever read. Why? Because it reveals your future potential and what you'll be doing for all eternity. In his introduction, Roderick Meredith asks the question, is there any transcendent reason for you to be alive? Can you have a remarkably interesting and fulfilling destiny ahead of you, regardless of your present situation? Can you be 100% sure of a future rendezvous with happiness, joy, and peace? You'll find the answers in this exciting free booklet, Your Ultimate Destiny. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy titled, Your Ultimate Destiny.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
God's plan of salvation promises a glorious future for those who faithfully respond to His calling. As we saw earlier in the program, the glorified children of God will rule as kings and priests on earth with Christ for 1,000 years. We'll teach billions of physical human beings the way to salvation, so they also can have eternal life as immortalized children of God. But what happens after the millennium? Turn in your Bible to Revelation 20. Revelation 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Read the following verses. After 1,000 years, Satan the devil is released to deceive the nations. Those who follow the deceiver are destroyed by fire from heaven. Then Satan and his demons are cast into the lake of fire. You can read about that judgment in Matthew 25, verse 41. Now the book of life is open for billions of humans in the white throne judgment. This is the time of the second resurrection, the judgment period when many of your friends and relatives who've never had a real opportunity for salvation will be given that opportunity. After the white throne judgment, what happens? Revelation 20 and verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the real hellfire of your Bible. At this point in time, all human beings who have ever lived will either be destroyed in the lake of fire, or they will be glorified children of God and live forever with the immortalized family of God. The Apostle Peter writes that the earth will be totally burned and purified by fire. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. The earth will be renewed, and so will the heavens. Then God's heavenly throne comes to the purified earth. Read the 21st chapter of Revelation. Now verse 3, Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Notice that God does not only give us the earth, as it tells us in Matthew 5:5, but he also gives us the entire universe. Revelation 21, verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. As we saw earlier in Hebrews 2, God's purpose is to prepare us to govern the universe. We will be able to instantly travel to the far-off galaxies. We will not be limited by time and space. God wants us to liberate the creation from its decay and corruption. As it states in Romans 8, and verse 21, the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. God will give his faithful children an awesome future and destiny. We will be active, fulfilled, and gloriously happy for all eternity. The prophet Isaiah wrote concerning the Messiah and his eternal kingdom. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now listen to this. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. My friends, I hope you want to be a part of the glorious future God has planned for you. We all look forward to the day when God's throne of grace will come to planet Earth. Then finally, there'll be no more pain, suffering, and death. Listen to this, our inspiring ultimate destiny, Revelation 21 and verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. May God help you to understand his great love and purpose for you. Be sure to request your free booklet, Your Ultimate Destiny, to learn more about your glorious future. We invite you to join us every week on Tomorrow's World program. Roderick Meredith, John O'Gwin, and I will continue to share with you the teachings of Jesus Christ and the exciting end-time prophecies and their meaning. So join us again next week, right here, at this same time.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.